your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. We are now halfway through September as the pandemic marches on. Later in this episode, hear about the most ergonomic workstation you can have in your house. But first, news updates. As hints of fall begin to trickle in across the country, you might be thinking about your holiday plans this year. Should you fly home for the holidays in the midst of a global pandemic? Sure, the comfort of home sounds incredibly nice after this rough year, but is it worth the risk of possible infection? The LA Times suggests asking yourself a few questions before you book that flight. How necessary is this trip? Where will you be staying and how safe is that? How old is everyone you will be visiting? What is the plan if someone gets sick? And remember to keep tabs on travel restrictions in the state you're living and the state you'll be heading to as well. Less than half of all Americans say they plan to get a COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available, according to two recent polls. Most doctors say that transparency is key to gaining people's trust in the vaccine, adding that seasonal flu shot programs this fall are the perfect warm-up game for a possible vaccine with COVID-19 next year. They say vaccine skepticism is already a major health concern, but the global pandemic should serve as a rallying cry to combat anti-vaccination sentiments. Staying 6 feet apart has become the norm in common areas, your stores, restaurants, and even protests. But where did this rule come from, and how did we get to this number? Well, it's based on research that's actually 80 years old, when a German scientist concluded that if someone is sick, you should not go near them. Back then, scientists maintained that most of the infectious particles people cough or sneeze out cannot travel more than 6 feet away. But nowadays, modern researchers are saying that the coronavirus doesn't follow hard and fast rules about infection, and neither should we. So if you're heading out, they say the simple questions to ask include, how long is the contact? Are people wearing face masks? Is the setting well ventilated, and will it be quiet or loud? Working from home. It seems like a lot of people are shifting to and sticking to this type of office. I'm recording right now from a closet at my house. Whether you're setting up shop at your kitchen table or hunched over your laptop for a Zoom call from bed, ergonomic issues are more likely to occur while working from home, especially since most people's transition to this lifestyle was quite abrupt. Dr. Chad Henriksen is a chiropractor and has been working in the industry for 20 years now, and joined Dr. Holly Lucille on her RadioMD podcast, Mindful Medicine, to talk ergonomics, alignment, and tips for productivity from home.
How can we actually do this at home? How can we make working from home more comfortable and, to your point, more safe? And especially when, you know, part of my philosophy as a naturopathic doctor is prevention is the cure. I'm sure you probably think in those terms as well. How can we prevent these perhaps things down the road by being more safe and comfortable while we're working at home?
Yeah, you know, with Worksite Right and Northwestern Health Sciences University, we're right with you, right? We think that prevention, early intervention is really the key to good health care. And there certainly are some specific things that we can think about in regards to working from home. And as I was mentioning in our setup, there's a couple rules that we try to communicate out and help people with that will get them in the right setup without having to have some expert that comes into our home and does these things. And they're pretty simple, right? When we're sitting at a workstation, whatever that might be, sometimes it's a laptop, sometimes it's a home computer or something, but we want to have a couple rules in place. And the first rule we talk about is a rule of 90s. And so we would like to have the hip and the leg joint be at a 90 degree angle, right? So our thigh is parallel with the floor. We would also like our elbow to be hanging at our side and our elbow at a 90 degree angle. If we have a lot of flexion or extension, all right, so if we're not at that 90, that puts undue stress on the body. And then the second thing is, and maybe just as important, or if not more important, is really thinking about a vertical line or a gravity line that starts at our earlobe and goes down directly through the shoulder and then through the hip, right? So this gets us in a very upright, what we think of as good posture. And it's oftentimes difficult to do in a home setting because we get slouched or we don't have the right setup. But if we can have that vertical line and our head is in line with our shoulder, which is in line with our hip, and we can have good 90 degree angles at the elbow, hip, and knee, that's really a good basic setup. And then obviously we hear a lot about, you know, having the right chair and making sure that we have lumbar support and some support in that low back that helps us be able to maintain that curve or that sway in our low back so that our muscles don't have to work the whole time we're sitting. And if we can get set up in that position, boy, we've done a lot of good for ourselves. And then it's things like thinking about where's our screen height, right? We would like to have our eyes looking horizontal as well. And so we don't have a lot of forward bending or backward bending of the neck as we're sitting.
All right. And I'm going to just go right to this because you mentioned, obviously, the director of worksite, right? So folks, just so you don't have to furiously take notes here, there is a website called worksiteright.com. And so worksite is WORKSIT, so at your worksite, and then doing it right. So worksiteright.com. So thank you, Chad. That's great. And like I said, I have a group of 25 doctors that meets on a Friday, and the positions that I've seen people be in are not 90 degrees. Let me tell you something. It's been everywhere. And then I sort of, you know, it was interesting for me when I was starting to work from home in the beginning. I think that the mentality and the spirit of it all was like, you know, we're in this, we're just going to get her done. And then all of a sudden, like literally 3 months later, I'm like, how am I a 55-year-old woman with a terminal degree sitting on my bedroom floor taking meetings? Like, this is not going away. It'll be probably a long time from safe staffing perspective until I can go back to my office. I've got to make some changes. So it sort of dawned on me, right? Because it's like, this wasn't planned. And what I ended up doing is just getting sort of a janky stand-up desk that I could actually sit on an exercise ball and put down level with my screen if I wanted to, but then at the same time had the chance to kind of pull it up and stand if I needed to. So that helped quite a bit. that was really important.
Yeah, you know, you Holly, you make some great points there, right? You know, we were kind of thrown into this, and so we might not have been as prepared as we normally would have been. And your home adaption is another good point, right? We have patients that are utilizing an ironing board as a sit stand, right? It can be lowered down if they're sitting, or they can raise it up if they're standing, or they're moving from their table or desk to a kitchen counter. To be able to be active and moving. And that's one thing that's important to keep in mind is that we're never going to get the exact right position, right? I mean, it's going to be very difficult to be ideal. And so activity or changing our posture is so very important. Our bodies are meant to be dynamic, and there's a lot of systemic health reasons for being active and moving positions and not just being fixed to one workstation for an 8 or 9 hour period.
All right. So in that, let's talk about taking breaks. I think that when a lot of people have gone to work and they are employees, there's sort of mandated breaks. I know in the health field with nurses and such, there is not only mandatory lunch breaks, but also those 2 15-minute breaks where you can just kind of like shake it off, go outside, take a walk. It is not as structured at home. And I've seen it both ways. I've seen like complete inability to focus like squirrel, and then somebody's off and running and not doing, being able to be productive at all doing a working from home situation. But then I've also seen nose to the grindstone, not looking up for 8 hours, holding even your urine because work is just so intense and type, meeting, so many meetings that you can't get any work done. What is your advice for people to stay healthy, stay comfortable, prevent disease around taking breaks?
Yeah, the first thing we recommend is really trying to set a routine, right? And this is good both from a physical health standpoint as well as from a mental and emotional health standpoint, right? So having a true start to the day, just like we would in a traditional office setting, is important. And then looking at our schedule for the day or the week and being able to identify opportunities in there that we want to, and for many people, it requires them scheduling it in their day to have some activity, and whether that's just to walk outside and to get a breath of fresh air or a walk around the block or whatever it is, actually physically scheduling that time in your day is important. You know, so much of that activity just happens naturally as we're walking around the office, but at home it's a little bit more difficult. The other thing that we believe is really important for us is that when we are in those meeting after meeting days, is that we take some micro breaks. And by micro breaks, we mean 10 or 15 seconds of just maybe it's standing and doing some stretching. And the stretching that we recommend is kind of the rule of opposites. So much of our work is in front of us and we're flexed forward and shoulders are rounded and slouched. And so if we're standing up and extending back and reaching our hands out and kind of doing the opposite of the position that we're locked in, even for 10 or 15 seconds, every half hour or 40 minutes, that goes a long way to improve circulation, reduce muscle fatigue, and those types of things. And so, but it requires developing the habit. And sometimes to develop the habit, we need to put reminders within our schedule to be able to do so. And then, as I said earlier, if you have the ability to do a sit-stand workstation, you know, those things are also very helpful.
All right. Well, as I said, you know, sometimes I feel like when we're talking about this pandemic, and I've made it an analogy to surfing or a wave. If you've ever even just been out in the waves, walking in the ocean, and there's a wave that comes and knocks you down, and before you can stand back up again and get your bearings, another wave comes. And I feel like we might be headed for that trajectory with what I'm seeing as far as this pandemic is concerned. So, you know, we think about when things get back to normal, or I've heard people say it in many different ways. We don't know if this is going to ever, you know, go back to normal. What do you think how do you think this office setup will change, you know, post-COVID?
Well, I'm not sure that there will be a post-COVID to start with. So, but that being said, you're right. I think that our sense of normal has changed probably for a long time for sure. And as we talk to employers across the country, there's a significant part of the workforce that might not ever come back into a traditional office setting and will be a work from home moving forward. And so we think that the workplace dynamics is certainly changing. And that's what part of what we need to be able to manage is, you know, as you said earlier, you know, we kind of got thrown into this and it was kind of this, well, maybe it'll be for a week or a month or 3 months. And now all of a sudden, many people are realizing that this might be, you know, the way of the future for them. And so sometimes it takes, you know, getting through some of those mental hurdles that can come into play. But certainly we want to keep a wide variety of overall health in mind as we take a look at this new workplace. And in many situations, I think employees will have some sort of hybrid work situation where maybe they spend 2 or 3 days in the office and 2 or 3 days at home. And so really paying attention to creating the best work environment that for your health is important. Certainly, we've talked about the physical side of things, but I think that there's just as much importance to place on the mental, emotional side of things and creating the space, whether it's at your office or whether it's at your home, in which you can remain focused with trying to reduce the number of distractions is a really good idea. I also think that finding a consistent space, right? I hear so often people, you know, they work from their bedroom or they work from the kitchen table or they work from an office setting at their home or they're constantly transferring that workstation. And I think we function better if we can identify some space, optimize its setup, and know that this might be a long duration.
Hear the full interview on Mindful Medicine found on RadioMD.com or any other podcast platform. This has been RadioMD COVID-19 Weekly. Contact us with questions or give us some feedback at COVID-19@RadioMD.com. I'm Caitlin White. Stay safe and 6 feet apart.